Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And today I think we're going to talk about one of Jan's favorite subjects of all time, container gardening.
Yes, we only have 15 minutes.
Right, exactly.
Oh, boo.
It's the abbreviated version on there. But you all still have time to visit Master Gardeners out in the community events. There's still time to visit them at the Earth Day celebration at the Environmental Services Department. And the Master Gardeners will also be at Party for the Planet today and tomorrow at the El Paso Zoo doing a youth activity. So make sure that you take your gardening questions out there and stop by and say hello. Tell them that you heard us on Good to Grow, and they'll be able to answer all of your questions. Well, Jan, let's talk all about containers. I know we had such a successful program last month on growing all sorts of plants, especially edibles, into containers. So how do we get started? What kind of container should one select?
Well, I have discovered that almost anything can be turned into a container, anything from a cowboy boot to a cast iron bathtub. Of course, the most common ones are different kinds of pots. For the most part, a 7-gallon container is probably the most popular, but you have to decide what you want to plant, and then you choose your container size accordingly. If you're going to plant a tomato in a container, then you want to make sure it's very, very deep and probably 22 to 24 inches in diameter. If you're planting an herb, then you can probably get away with a much smaller container that's about 8 inches in diameter. So it depends on what you're going to plant. You want to decide on that. One of the most important things is to make sure that you provide drainage holes for your containers, because otherwise your efforts are going to be in vain. Those plants have to breathe. They need air, and that water needs to drain out. Many plants die from overwatering more than they do from underwatering, because they get wet feet, the roots rot, and then the plant cannot live.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot of different options that you see in the garden centers, you know, other glazed materials, other ones that are plastic that are almost like a faux coverage on there as well. And you know, it's all a matter of what the look that you're trying to get in your garden. And the one thing that I like to do is have a working pot in my container garden. That way I can easily switch it out. I can manipulate the soil. I can switch out the plants. I can check, you know, and scout for anything that's going on. And I leave that nice outside pot just to be a decorative pot. It's not really serving a function. The only thing it's is serving is hiding that working pot inside of it.
Those are called cache pots, C-A-C-H-E. And it really is a good, it's an excellent point, because then maybe you get tired of your petunia in there and you want to move a small sage or something like that into that pot and move it around. I also like to use lighter weight containers. They're much easier, much more portable, and that's one of the draws to container gardening, is that it is portability. And, you know, you can kind of chase the sun, if you will. And especially if you're planting vegetables, you want to make sure that they get plenty of sunlight. And if you've got trees in your backyard and you started in April and the trees are just budding out, then you've got lots of sunlight. And then a few weeks later, your plants are sitting in the sun. So the portability of containers is another really good reason to do it.
So a really lightweight nursery can certainly serve as your functioning working pot.
Exactly.
And then your cash pot right on the outside.
You can also take that working pot that you're talking about, and it's a great project for kids. You can spray it and have the kids paint whatever they like on it. So you can make that aesthetically pleasing as well.
Very nice. So following the theme of keeping these container pots mobile and light, then we have to look at the different types of soils that are available out there. One of my things is always cringe every time I walk by a garden center and see that they have these huge bales of peat moss.
Yes.
People, and for some reason, I don't know why they're out there. And peat moss shouldn't even be sold and doesn't really have a place into our desert soil gardens. It's just not the right product for what we need. But there are a couple of different options that you can have when you're doing container gardening, and straight peat moss is not the answer.
You're right. It's not. My preference is a good quality potting soil. There's a variety of brand names out there, so forth and so on. Again, this is a personal preference for me, but I don't like the ones that have all sorts of additives. I want to control control what, especially in the area of fertilizer, what I'm putting into my containers, because not all plants have the same needs as far as fertilizer is concerned. So I like to buy a nice lightweight potting soil. I don't recommend garden soil for your containers because it is so very heavy. Now that works really well in raised beds, which is a type of container. It's a stationary container, but for your portable containers, I really recommend that you stick with a good lightweight potting soil. You'll see the white stuff in it is called perlite, and that aerates the soil in it. It's all tied together with how we water and how effective our watering is. And with that peat moss in there, like you talked about, water just runs off. And right. It's waste.
Exactly. So then your potting soil is going to be a soilless mixture because there's no sand, silt, or clay in the actual bag itself. So it's going to be artificial soil that you're actually building with your plants. But you're looking here at a short-term, very seasonal plants that you're going to put in there and mix out really quickly. So potting soil is great for your containers, and you can certainly grow your edibles in there all the time. So how many plants can somebody force into a container?
Well, I force a lot of plants into my containers. I'll use herbs for an example. Most herbs that we grow here in the Southwest are very compatible. They have the same soil. They have the same water and fertilizer requirements. I remember a mentor of mine saying, you know, pack them in there because there's a riot going on under the ground and they're competing. And the more they compete, the more beautiful they are on the top of the soil. And also, if you plant one little flower in a pot, it looks kind of sad. And we use a little poem in our container gardening world. We say we want to plant a thrill, a fill, and a spill. And that thrill is something a little bit taller that is kind of a focal point for your container. The thrill is going to fill around the top of the soil. Then the spill are those kinds of things that hang over the side of the pot. And it's much more aesthetically pleasing, and it's really better for the plants because they, as I say, they're competing for all those nutrients in the water in there, and it looks so much better.
Can you employ that same principle for ornamentals as well as edibles?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You could plant a little fern in the middle of your, and this would require a good sized container, maybe plug in some pansies around the side, or in the winter time or in the early spring, some petunias, something along those lines, the gazanias that are really good drought tolerant, and then add some alyssum that will trail over the side and go to seed for you and come back perhaps in the area where you've placed the pot. They may actually go to seed in your flower bed, but it'll also come back the next year. And you've got that splash of color. So there again, that's a thrill, a fill, and a spill. And that's a really good way to think about how to plan your container gardening.
Wonderful. Sounds good. So then you have your container gardening, you picked out the right container, you have your nice, beautiful decorative pot on the outside, and then you've really packed in your plants into your container. And then now what?
Well, you've got to be sure and take care of them. And one of the things that I recommend that you do is after you've planted them, and there's specific, that would be a whole nother show, methods on planting the plants, then you want to mulch your container. And you can use all different kinds of mulch, a sphagnum moss or a Spanish moss, even your red bark chips, and it makes the pot look pretty. But the purpose of that is to keep that moisture in. It also helps to keep weeds out. We do that in our flower beds as well. And of course, then we have to water, and you want to water properly. When you do water, water slowly. Make sure that the water comes out the bottom of the container. But don't look and say, oh gosh, this pot is dry on the top. It might be dry in the first inch, but what you want to know is what's going on down underneath at the root ball. A very expensive tool that you can use to do that is a number two pencil. I use a shiny one. They're probably, I guess, they're 8 to 10 inches long. And you can push that pencil down into the soil. When you pull it off, if there's mud, if there's, you know, you'll see the damp soil around the pencil, then you know that you don't need to water. If it comes out dry, then that's a signal that you do need to water. And of course, you have to keep in mind how hot it is or how cool it is in the environment itself. So you can't do a watering schedule that says, I will water every day or I will water every other day. Your plants will tell you. And don't be too concerned if in the afternoon they kind of droop. They'll fold in on themselves because they're just like us. They're protecting themselves from the sun. But look at that same plant later in the afternoon around 6:30, and you will see that it's perked up.
And there's a shortcut to do that. You can certainly go out and buy a pre-assembled container garden or a dish garden. Or
yes.
They're all different types that kind of are available in the market on there. And you take them home, and then all of a sudden, they don't look as nice as they did sitting on that shelf in that nursery. So you want to make sure that when you do choose something, if you go the route of a pre-packaged container garden mm-hmm. for your first gardening attempt, you want to make sure that that does have follow the same principles on that. Drainage
always.
Holes, you're able to access the soil, you're able to water that thoroughly, and then you're also able to give it a nice enough amount of sunlight as well.
And all of your plants have different requirements. If you're planting an herb garden, it's going to want at least 6 hours of sun a day. My preference along those lines and from past experience is that the morning sun is the best sun. I have mine on the north side of my house so that when that blistering heat comes in from the west in the afternoon, they're not getting blasted and they seem to do better. And they like to live together. They really do. They're very, very compatible. And many of our plants are compatible in a container. And it makes a huge difference in the aesthetics of your yard.
That's a really great point to make, is that the fact is that they're not able to buffer any of those harsh temperatures from the side of their container. It doesn't matter how thick of a container it is. It's still getting that direct heat onto its root system that doesn't have a buffering capacity like a normal soil would when you're planting something in the ground.
It does make a difference. And be careful when you're purchasing your plants as well. Make sure that you're getting healthy plants. If you see thick roots coming out of the bottom of a container, I always pick mine up and I look for hitchhikers. Make sure you're not introducing any pests into your garden. And little tiny white roots coming out of the bottom of a container are okay. That shows that there's a good healthy plant. But you want to make sure that you start, give them a good start. And if I don't teach you anything else, before you plant your container, moisten your soil so that if you pick up a clump of soil, it will hold its shape without water running down your elbow. Moisten your root ball so that when you plant the plant into the soil, it has a good environment in which to get started. And then your watering will be a whole lot easier as well, too. I almost forgot that most important part.
There you go. You're watering on there. And then that consistency of a wrung-out sponge is
exactly.
kind of a good indicator mm-hmm. to be able to tell folks, you know, how much is too much water and how much is not. So this week, we want to make sure we feature for our plant of the week, a nice little edible plant. And that's going to be our lettuce leaf basil. So
it is
that.
Such a great herb. I think all of us have probably experienced basil in one way, shape, or form. Lots of folks make pesto. This basil actually looks like a large leaf of lettuce. It will get as big as your hand. It's real crinkly, like a green leaf lettuce. And it's a milder flavor. You can use it in your salads. In the summertime, I do not use lettuce on my sandwiches. I use basil. And my favorite sandwich is a BBT, a bacon, basil, and tomato sandwich. It's really a neat plant. It's not readily available, but you can order those seeds out of many seed catalogs. And basil propagates quickly, and you can get it started by direct sowing or by starting some little plants indoors. And this is the time to do it.
Excellent. So lettuce leaf basil, that's going to be our plant of the week. Well, we're all out of time for a show this week. If you have any other Master Gardener questions, please call them at their help desk at 771-2354. We also want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Petterzelka.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.